Grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. Today's sermon may be a bit of a risk. If you've read the title in the bulletin, you've seen that I'm going to take something very familiar and precious and change its name. Now, I'm aware in advance that it may sound a little odd or strange to you. It might even sound wrong. But I ask you to bear with me, and I'll explain what I mean. Now, before we get into that, recall how we began our Lenten journey this year. Our theme came from the Old Testament story of Joseph. After the patriarch Jacob, or Israel, died, Joseph's brothers were afraid that it was payback time. Joseph was powerful in Egypt, after all, and they were not. Joseph could get revenge on them, and they couldn't stop him. And the brothers had sinned against Joseph and treated him terribly so many years before. But Joseph said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to keep many people alive today." But it was important on Ash Wednesday not to misunderstand what Joseph was saying. He was not saying, "Well, you tried to do evil things, but what you did wasn't really evil." No, his brothers did evil to him. But what God actually did was to use the evil. At times he counteracted it, but sometimes God just plain grabbed the evil and used it to his larger plan. No one could see it at the time, but that's how God works. Okay, back to that risk. Based on this rich, profound reading from Luke 23, from our gospel in John chapters 18 and 19, Evil Friday is also Good Friday. There it is. Now, we never refer to that Friday so long ago as Evil Friday. We always call it Good Friday. And let me say that I will continue to call it Good Friday, and so should you. But today, however, I want to try to bring out both sides of what Luke is telling us. That way we can take the world as it still is seriously, and we won't sugarcoat it. But we can also marvel at our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how he was at work so long ago on that Friday, and how he is still at work in our lives and in our world today. Evil Friday is also Good Friday. Now, the first thing that Luke says is this: it was now about the sixth hour, that is about noon, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, we have a lot of questions about this, and we can't answer all of them, so we won't try. But we can be pretty sure of one thing. The darkness is bad. It's a sign that evil is close at hand. All the way back in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah, the father of the newborn John the Baptist, was finally able to speak again after John's birth, and he praised the true God and his mercy, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. God had begun to work in the world in a new way. His light was already living in the womb of Mary as Zechariah spoke these words. God's mercy brings sunrise or light in darkness. But at noon on that Friday, there was darkness over the whole land. And less than a day before, as Jesus was being arrested by people who were doing the will of Satan himself, Jesus said to those people, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." Even though we know how this history goes, even so, when we read about the darkness over the whole land, it should be enough to make us tremble. Because there is a real Satan, and there is real evil, and evil is at work that Friday afternoon so long ago. What happened next? And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Again, there are questions, and no one can answer all of them. Here are a couple of answers, though. First, who tore the curtain? God did. God the Father tore the temple curtain. Why in the world would he do that? This temple was dedicated to his worship. Sacrifices and forgiveness happened at this temple for every believer who approached. But now God makes a split, or he might say a crack in the temple, and worse is coming. Jesus predicted it. Not one stone will be left upon another. Why? Because the leading chief priests had lost their way as a group, and they have used their power and influence against the person to whom the temple pointed, the person who knew at age 12 that he was to be in his father's house. In their blind ignorance, they have hated and now are trying to do away with God's only Son. For that evil, God's judgment is coming within the span of a single generation. We shouldn't point fingers. Would we, after all, have been any different from them? But evil is at work that Friday. Darkness came over the land, and the temple curtain was torn in two. And Jesus entrusted himself to his Father's care, and he died. But in every way imaginable, he didn't deserve to die. You deserve to die. I do too. The wages of sin is death, and we have sinned. But over and over, Luke has told us that Jesus is innocent, that he doesn't deserve this fate. That the centurion will say yet one more time in the very next verse, "Truly this man was innocent." Yet Jesus does die. He dies the death of a criminal covered in nothing, shame, and dishonor because they have taken his clothes and divided them among themselves. Death by crucifixion, an evil death. Friends, what happens next is like a hinge or a turning point. A centurion, a Gentile soldier in the pay of Rome, in charge of up to 100 men with authority over them, a centurion is there, and he has been watching and listening this whole time. Did he help to fasten Jesus to the cross so he would die? We don't know. Luke only tells us that he was there. We don't know the full extent of what the centurion knew or believed. But like the believing criminal a few verses earlier, we only have what Luke tells us here. But he can help us turn a corner of faith and understanding, turn around and see the amazing good that God is doing here in the face of evil, in spite of evil, and even using the evil for his good will to be done. Luke writes, "Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God," or a literal translation would be glorified God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." The centurion glorified God. He knew that God was at work in the presence of evil. He stood there in the darkness, faced with cruelty and a death that by every normal way of thinking should not have happened. In the face of that, this soldier glorified God. How much exactly did he know? We can't know for certain, but he knew that the execution of this perfectly innocent man had to be a part of the plan of God. And so he glorified God. And so can we, and so must we. When Jesus breathes his last, that cannot be the end. It can't be the last thing. Not if God is God, not if justice matters. Evil must not have the last word. And that means Jesus' complete trust in his Father to receive his Spirit will not be the last thing. Not if God cares about the world and about sin and about Satan's wreckage. No, the centurion knew that Jesus was deeply, cosmically, eternally innocent and pure and righteous. And so the soldier glorified God because more was coming, because good was coming. He may not have known in what form, but good was coming. Evil Friday was also Good Friday, because Easter was coming. The centurion helps us to turn a corner and to see God at work. The curtain of the temple was torn down the middle. God is rejecting the former place of sacrifice of forgiveness. It was corrupted by its leaders and their sin, yes, but rejecting the temple also means that there is a new place of sacrifice and forgiveness. A new place where God can be present among his people to strengthen and protect and restore. The new place, the physical location for God's blessings, now will be Jesus, the body of Jesus. He is the new way. His blood is the new covenant, the new place where God is present with his people now. Jesus, body and soul, true man and true God, all of Jesus. The temple was cracked, something more was coming. Easter was coming. Satan meant it for evil, and it was. But God meant it for good, and so it was. God plans to bring men and women and children out of the darkness of Satan's lies and their own worst sins, and into the light of his peace, his acceptance, his fellowship. Satan did his worst. He waited for the opportune time, and it came. He entered Judas, and Judas did Satan's bidding. The authorities were all pawns and tools in Satan's hand. There was darkness all around Jesus, coming against Jesus. But it came against him, and against him alone. The darkness could not snuff out his compassion. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. The darkness could not snatch any believer, no matter how fragile, from Jesus' mercy. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus stood in the gap. He hung where all of us deserve to hang. The darkness came against Jesus alone, but he did not flinch, and he took it all, and he perfectly performed the Father's plan. And so in faith, he entrusted his Spirit to the Father's hands, knowing that the darkness would give way to light. Evil at work, but God at work more strongly still. Evil Friday, but even more Good Friday. And life and light would return, because Easter was coming. Luke then tells us about Joseph of Arimathea and about the Galilean women who brought spices to anoint Jesus' body. What they did was very beautiful on that evil day. More beautiful still is the fact that their loving efforts were in vain. The tomb where no one had ever yet been laid will become the tomb where no one is lying anymore. The spices prepared to anoint a corpse will go to waste. No corpse to be found, only Jesus, all of Jesus, whole and living. That night long ago was the turning point, the hinge of the story. Everything depends on Friday and on Sunday. Our lives depend on how God took that evil and used it and then destroyed the evil with the new resurrection life of Jesus our Lord. No darkness of sin or guilt can overcome Jesus, and he is for you. When darkness comes, remember Good Friday and entrust yourself to Jesus who bore the darkness in your place. When confusion and hardship swirl around you and confuse you, and you can't find your way back into God's presence, remember Good Friday and the torn curtain and Jesus who is God's presence. Come to him, to the Lord's Supper. Come to hear God's promises in Jesus. He is God's presence in our world, and he is for you. If life becomes so hard that it seems like you can't trust God and you have no idea what good he can bring out of evil, lean on Jesus, on his trust in his Father, and glorify God because he is still at work. Evil Friday was also Good Friday because Jesus stood against the darkness for you. What a God, and Easter is coming. So we end today in hope, in faith. We'll go home and rest as the women did long ago, but we're not going to prepare spices to anoint a body because we know that it was and is and always will be Good Friday. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. For you, for me, for everyone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.